This hour of the Jason Rand Show is brought to you by You Build It. Lots of news is happening all around the world and right here at home. So let's find out what's trending.
What's trending? National.
I think it was clear that last night the president did better than Joe Biden at the debate. For me, there was no doubt about it. Part of it is because it turns out when the president follows the two-minute rule, not only do you not need to mute, he does really, really well, and he comes off as presidential, more so than Joe Biden, who weirdly just starts yelling at some point. Like an old man in a park yelling at a bench. Just starts yelling. And when you actually hear some of the positions that Joe Biden takes and the arguments that Donald Trump makes, it becomes very clear who is ready for the next 4 years. Now, a lot of topics were discussed, everything from COVID to BLM and everything in between. And there was a moment last night that is pretty obvious who's lying. They brought up the idea of kids being torn from their parents and put in cages at the border, which of course is not how it's happening. We don't have cages. However, we do have child separation. There's no doubt. And right now, there are several hundred kids in need of their parent or parents to be reunited, but we can't find them. Part of that has to do with the fact that they were brought into this country illegally in too many cases. People who do not have any relationship to the child, but they thought they could use the child to get into this country. In other cases, if you've got an adult who is not in custody and the kid is in custody, where'd the adult go? They either came into the United States or stayed out but didn't come back for their kid. There are clear problems and it is a bit of a crisis. But the way that this conversation occurs is that it was Donald Trump who put these cages at the border to throw kids in, which is factually inaccurate.
They built cages. You know, they used to say, I built the cages. And then they had a picture in a certain newspaper, and it was a picture of these horrible cages. And they said, look at these cages. President Trump built them. And then it was determined they were built in 2014. That was him.
Yup, it was. I love this. Because the media pretends that this wasn't the case. The media itself was caught because they didn't do their homework pursuing this narrative that Donald Trump is responsible. There were progressive check marks on Twitter showing a disturbing photo of a kid in a cage, and they attributed it, the photo, to the Trump administration, when the photo actually came from 2014. Joe Biden wants to dodge this particular issue.
Who built the cages,
Let's talk about what
who built the cages,
about. Let's talk about what we're talking about. What happened?
Let's talk about what we're talking
Parents
about.
Parents were ripped, their kids were ripped from their arms and separated. And now they cannot find over 500 of sets of those parents, and those kids are alone. Nowhere to go. Nowhere to go. It's criminal. It's criminal.
It's criminal. It's criminal. Again, dodges the question. Now, I find it funny that some people reacted to this portion of the debate in the way that they did. President Trump noted that some of the kids were brought here by coyotes. Do you know what a coyote is?
Yeah.
What?
Coyote is someone who brings somebody else over the border into American soil.
They're criminals who do this. They get paid. They oftentimes take advantage of the individual who's trying to come into this country illegally. And by the way, most of the time, the people who are doing that, they're doing it because they simply want a better life. I understand why someone might want to come into this country illegally. Can I read you just one of the dozens and dozens and dozens of tweets upset with the president for calling out the coyotes for doing this?
Please do. I'd love to hear it.
Okay. This one is from someone named Darshan Kendrick. She is a corporate attorney and investment advisor and a Georgia state representative. Smart, smart woman. or so you would think just from the bio. But now let me read the tweet. Did Donald Trump just say 545 kids, they can't find their parents? Four came over through cartels and coyotes? How the hell does a coyote bring a whole human across the border? Lord, stop talking. There are legitimately, just from blue check marks, like hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of these tweets thinking that coyotes is meant literally.
Well, did you see how crafty Wile E. Coyote was with the Roadrunner? Could be capable of anything.
Let me just read some more tweets. We won't go through every single one, but these are all coming from check marks, and they're all liberal. The children are brought here by coyotes? Now the coyotes being blamed now. Did Trump just say children were brought to the border by coyotes? I don't think the comment of these children will be brought here by coyotes, so you know, is the strongest argument. Oh my God, what children are being brought here by coyotes, you loon? It goes on and on and on and on. I've seen a lot of coyotes here in SoCal, but I've never seen one carrying a kid. That's good. This is not a new term. Donald Trump didn't coin this term. This term has been used for decades, I believe.
I learned about it on the show.
At least since 1973, according to the New York Times. At least since 1973.
I'm glad that we were able to pin that back to the 70s.
Here's another. Oh, my gosh. This was from David Hogg from Stoneman Douglas. Imagine calling the immigrant parents that bring their children to the United States for a better life coyotes. Oh my gosh.
If anybody had any faith left in people on Twitter, this should have probably just gotten rid of it.
I do like some of the memes of Photoshopped children on coyotes.
Are they riding them, or are they being carried the teeth of the coyote?
Nope, they are riding them. It's actually, and some of these are actually offensive, so I can't actually retweet some of them, because they got sombreros on and everything, so I don't want to play into that. But some of them are funny, the non-offensive ones. Oh my gosh. Do people, seriously, is this, is coyote, maybe, are people not hearing this term anymore? Is it completely outside of the vernacular now that it's just a new generation? These are older people who are doing this. Of all the people who shouldn't know what a coyote is, I would turn to someone the age of your age, 25 years old, probably not knowing what it is. Because it's not like we talk about immigration all that much anymore. At least not this election cycle. Yet you somehow know.
It's because I watched Dexter. Have you ever watched Dexter?
Yeah. It's
good show.
Yeah. I didn't like the ending. I didn't think it was that good.
I don't think anybody liked the ending, which is why they're redoing it.
The last two seasons were awful.
They're literally doing another season of the show.
You're listening to the Jason Rand Show. When we come back, we're going to dive into a huge mistake that Joe Biden made last night on the topic of oil and energy and the environment. Don't forget to follow me on Twitter, twitter.com/JasonRants. Let's find out what else is trending.
What's trending? Let's get political.
So I don't want to miss this from last night's debate. Joe Biden says he's going to close down the oil industry.
Would he close down the oil industry? Would you close down the oil industry?
By the way, I have a transition from the oil industry, yes.
Oh,
I will transition. It is a big statement.
That's a
because
big statement.
I would stop.
Why would you do that?
Because the oil industry pollutes significantly. Oh.
So his argument to swing states that employ lots of folks in the oil and gas industry is that we're going to close you down. Then, of course, he did the same thing he normally does, which is pretend he never said that he would stop fracking. Never, ever, ever said it. What are you talking about? I would never say something like that. You're taking me out of context. Huh? When did I ever say that? Play the tape, he said. play the... Oh, okay.
Thank you, Mr. Vice President. Just to clarify, would there be any place for fossil fuels, including coal and fracking, in a Biden administration?
No, we would work it out. We would make sure it's eliminated.
Okay, so you are against fracking. You were against fracking before you pretended to be in favor of fracking. The reason why this is controversial is why? Do you know? What state is on the line when it comes to fracking?
Pennsylvania.
Ooh, you learned that and I didn't even have to cheat.
Nope. I'm good.
You're getting better. You know who's even better on this issue? Do you know the state where people pay really, really close attention to this is? Say it again.
It's Pennsylvania.
Pennsylvania.
I was a little shaky on that
one. I know. They are concerned with Biden because there are a lot of jobs in Pennsylvania directly tied to fracking. They're paying attention to this more than anybody else. And if Peyton knows what it is that's on the line with Pennsylvania, Pennsylvanians whose jobs are on the line know how serious this is. This was a major screw-up. A major screw-up from Joe Biden last night. Lying again about fracking, knowing that there's plenty of tape of it, of him being honest about his position, and then saying you're going to get rid of the oil industry and the millions and millions and millions of jobs that come along with it. Liz Harrington is going to stop by later on this hour to talk about how colossal that screw-up actually was. Let's find out what else is trending.
What's trending in Tacoma?
Well, I'm told by the Tacoma News Tribune that this is a story of a talking dog.
It is. Why are you doubting the Tacoma News Tribune? They have granted us so many good stories over the past year and more.
That's a lie. Apparently, Bunny is a 15-month-old sheep-a-doodle? I don't know what that is. What?
It's a doodle mixed with some type of sheepdog.
A doodle?
Yeah, like...
You mean a poodle?
Yeah, but they're doodles when you mix them with anything, like a golden doodle.
But what's the sheep?
Like a sheepdog? Maybe? I don't know. There's
I've never heard of a sheep-a-doodle. It's kind of a weird-looking dog. It's just lanky. It's too big. It's almost like a Great Dane meets...
If there was a team of dogs, it would play power forward on their basketball team.
Yeah, it's a big dog. This is beast mode. This is the big one. This is doing the long run, and there's going to be an earthquake of some kind, also known as a beastquake. Is that do I have the football thingy correct?
Yeah, you nailed that. Okay. Beastquake.
So the Tacoma News Tribune says the dog talks. It does not talk.
Oh, it talks.
No.
Yes,
I was at least expecting to have a dog that barks and it kind of sounds like words.
It's better.
That's what I thought. No, it's not better. See, on the floor of this home is a mat with 70 buttons on them. And each button corresponds with a word. When you press the button, the word is announced. Bunny uses the buttons, according to Alexis Devine, who's the owner of said sheep-a-doodle. He uses the buttons to communicate what she, it's a she, sorry, not a he, I didn't mean to misgender.
How dare you?
That's not, it's Bunny can go either way.
Yeah.
No, it's a, well, no, fluidity. It pushes the button to express what it wants. So if it's hungry, it pushes the button that says, bring me dinner, lady.
No, it says like food.
Food. Hungry. Park. Beach. Jason Rant's podcast subscription. Like, they do that. And they took some video of it.
Yeah, we're home now.
First of all, that's a stupid thing to have there. Why do you need the dog to tell you it's home? You know it's home.
I don't know why the home. I'm sure owner has a system.
I get beach or park or I gotta pee. I get that part. Why would you have a button that says home?
There's got to be a reason for it.
Home. Yeah, no, I know, you're home. Home, home. No, maybe, I get it, you're home.
Maybe they take the button with them when they want to go places?
No, they don't. It has to be in that exact same spot.
Yep, exactly. We're home now.
See, it won't stop. Yeah, you're home, I know.
Love you. Oh, I love you too, Bunny. I love you too. Come here.
Oh, my God. No, shut
Come
up.
Here.
Stop it. It just was hitting different
Those
buttons.
Those were two separate buttons that were
Home,
apart from each other.
I love you. Home, but, I love you. But it's just hitting it, and it's recognizing that she's all excited that it happens. Now, it is true that if the dog is hungry, you can teach any dog to hit a button when it's hungry, because then you associate food or a treat with a button in a particular spot.
So she got, that dog got love you, mom, two separate buttons right there. And they're not, it's not like they're right next to each other. The dog had to shift a little and then understood that it was going to get affection after saying that.
Yeah, because
what
you,
a good
teach,
dog.
You teach the dog that if you do these two pushes of the button with your paw, I am going to praise you.
Your dog wouldn't speak.
My dog wouldn't make eye contact with me. I'm just saying this is not as impressive as people think. A dog, for example, grabs a leash when it has to use the bathroom, when it has to go outside, right?
You can train Some, it to
you
do
train
that.
You train it to do it.
70
it's the
buttons.
Same thing.
You find me a different dog that can be trained with 70 buttons.
Literally any dog. This is, it doesn't talk. It pushes buttons. That should have been the title. Dog is taught to push buttons, and annoying mom makes a video about it that gets way more page views than anything I've ever done, and now I'm just angry. Just find out what's trending.
What's trending at the movies?
It's Friday, and that means, ooh, I actually do get to talk about movies. Maybe it is time for all of us to laugh. Though you're going to have to do it at the expense of mostly conservatives. In Borat's subsequent movie film, it's released on Amazon Prime. It's out right now. Sacha Baron Cohen returns with Borat, a dumb and bigoted reporter from Kazakhstan. This time, he is tasked with delivering his 15-year-old daughter as a gift to Mike Pence. And yet again, Borat explores what the film wants you to believe is American culture, in particular, conservative American culture, which apparently is comprised of dim-witted and backwoods rubes. Now, most notable for us in Washington State is that much talked about and deceptively edited scene at an anti-mask rally took place in Olympia, where Borat cons the crowd into singing a mean-spirited song, though even in the movie you can kind of tell that the audience was mostly in on the joke.
Obama was a traitor, America he hated, he belonged inside the jails. I ain't lying, it ain't no jokes.
So it's a little catchy, I suppose. So objectively speaking, Borat is a funny movie. I think it is okay, even maybe important, to be able to laugh at ourselves. And yes, even with the deceptively edited Rudy Giuliani part, it's kind of funny. The problem with this movie, pushing all politics aside, because as you know, I don't like to judge movies with a political lens. The problem with Borat is that it's the same basic joke over and over and over again some more. And in some really, really obvious cases, it does seem to be done in bad faith, punching down. And it has a different level of meanness than I remember the original one having. Now, at the start of the movie, it is very, very funny. It is hilarious. Then it's just kind of funny, and then it's amusing, and then you're wondering how much left in the movie. In fact, I got to that point only about an hour in, and I realized, oh my gosh, I got 30 more minutes. It does become a little bit of a drag, a little bit of a slog. The problem is, it just doesn't sustain itself, and the scenes do kind of feel disconnected. Now that said, if you have an Amazon Prime account, I do think it's worth watching Borat. Because it is still funny. It's just not as funny as it ought to be, and it suffers perhaps from audience expectations that are higher than maybe it should be. It was all right. It is funny. It's got some very, very funny scenes, but it just doesn't last the entire 90 minutes. So let me know. Are you going to see the movie? Text me, 1-800-465-8770. You're listening to the Jason Rancho. Welcome back to the Jason Rancho on AM 770, KTTH, and 94.5 FM on the Greater East Side. Some of you've got those ballots in hand. You're getting ready to fill them out this weekend before mailing them off or dropping them off. And I want to make sure that you remember, when it comes to the lieutenant governor, as you're seeing two Democratic names to choose from, you do, in fact, have a viable option for a Republican. It just requires you to do just a little bit extra work, not that much. Just writing in the name Joshua Freed, who joins me now. Welcome back to the show.
Jason, it's always a pleasure.
So you're running this write-in campaign for lieutenant governor. Normally speaking, third party or even write-in campaigns or any of these kind of what I think some people would just dismiss as like a meaningless exercise. In this case, it really isn't. This is winnable.
Yeah, it's interesting in normal circumstances, but this has been anything but a normal year. And we have a real opportunity here with Denny Hack, who is in the primary, was at 25%. Marco Elias was at 18%. Clearly no majority there. I pull more votes from Denny. We can win this election when people write my name in, Joshua Freed for lieutenant governor, with as little as 34%. I believe we're going to make history this year.
So what do you need to do in order to pull out that win? You don't necessarily need like a 60% turnout of write-in votes.
No, I mean, we have 4.6 million voters in Washington State. Around 1.9 million would identify themselves as Republicans. We need to win with around 1.2 to 1.3 million. So it's only about two-thirds of the Republican votes. And actually, I am getting independent voters right now that are saying that Denny Hecht and Marco Elias are just too progressive, meaning too far left-leaning for them to vote for. They're looking for a fiscal conservative to help restart our economy that right now, sadly, we've seen 3,064 different businesses go out of business permanently in the last 6 months. So we need to not further burden our businesses and the economy with tax increases to overcome the budget shortfall, but truly have a fiscal conservative to be the president of the Senate in that position of lieutenant governor to keep those bad bills like an income tax bill going to the Senate floor. Let's look for efficiencies in state government. That's why I believe that this is a very, very real opportunity. Interesting. I'm sure you watched the lieutenant governor's debate last night. They played it on Como as well as King 5 on Facebook. Of the 500 comments on each of those, I would say easily 98% of them were people saying, write in the name Joshua Freed, or I already have. I really believe there's a groundswell of support that's happening through all 39 counties in Washington State. Pretty excited about it.
Yeah. Again, it's important, folks, before you send in that ballot, make sure you are writing in Joshua Freed for lieutenant governor. Joshua Freed, F-R-E-E-D. Write that in. Let's talk about last night's debate. You had tried to petition the coalition to allow you to be on that stage. Didn't go so well, did it?
It didn't. No, we sent in thousands of signatures on a petition that we worked on, and people requested it, but they did not allow us to get in. So sadly, the perspective that the voters in Washington State got to hear was, you know, would press the question for these two gentlemen, what are you going to do with the budget shortfall? Literally, the answer was taxes. The questioner further pressed in, says, well, where are you going to find efficiencies in state government? They couldn't answer the question. We need to trim state government back by 20%. And it's really not as far away as people think when you consider that the budget was just increased just a year and a half ago by 17%. We can find ways we can find efficiencies in state government. We must. We're going to see a $4 to $7 billion budget shortfall of the $54 billion budget. So let's go making sure that we shrink the size of government today that's continued to grow under one-party control. We need fiscal conservative policies because we know, as fiscal conservatives, that in a time of crisis, we can more quickly respond to address the needs of our family rather than wait for funds from the government. I mean, we've seen during this period of time $1 billion go to a Nigerian fraud ring, and yet the Democrat fundraiser, who's the head of ESD, has not yet been fired by this governor. They are enriching their politicos rather than looking out for the citizens of Washington State who are in a desperate situation today. That's why I'm hoping that people do write my name in, fill in that bubble, Joshua Freed for lieutenant governor.
What was interesting about last night's debate is that I think it was actually the first question essentially saying, hey, why should a Republican vote for either of you when both of you are Democrats? And it was kind of interesting to see both of them sort of flail at that and not really deliver a good enough answer, particularly Marco Elias, who talked about how, you know, one label doesn't define us and we got to bridge those differences. a even casual look at his Twitter feed shows him labels really do matter to him. He is a hardcore, far to the left progressive.
Absolutely far to the left. He is one of the left, most left in the legislature, and he has been one at times where it benefits him to claim how far left a progressive and how he wants to continue to push further and further and further left. Really, if he says that he wants to work in bipartisanship, well, I believe that sentence is not really backed with credibility, nor with what he's been doing down the legislature, nor his time in Mukilteo. So that's why I say that this is a real opportunity. People are looking at these two options, which are no options at all, and saying we're ready for something. Listen, a poll just happened about a week and a half ago. They didn't use my name in the question, but they asked for Denny Heck and Marco Elias. 52% of the people they questioned were undecided, meaning Denny Heck and Marco Elias both kept their primary numbers, 25% and 18%. They have not moved the needle in 3 months. They've not been able to convince the voters that they're the ones to help lead the Senate and lead our state forward in the position of lieutenant governor. That's why I believe that we're going to get not just 34%, but hopefully 38 to 40% mm-hmm. with this groundswell of support across Washington.
If you go right now to joshuafreed.com, you'll be able to print out a card to hand out to voters or post on your Facebook wall, Twitter feed to remind people to write in the name Joshua Freed for Lieutenant Governor. It is so incredibly important for you to do that. And, you know, some people believe that if, God forbid, Joe Biden were to become president, Jay Inslee is on the short list for a variety of potential cabinet posts, including the Department of the Interior. I don't know anyone who would actually seek out Jay Inslee for anything. But assuming that happens, I do think people falsely believe that the lieutenant governor then just permanently becomes governor. But that's not the case. It would be temporary, though.
No, you become governor for a period of about 1 year until a special election goes into place. But it is amazing that he would be considered for a cabinet position. We all watched the governor's debate with Culp, and clearly it showed after 8 years of on-the-job training for Jay Inslee, he is still inept and unable to lead us for yet another 4 years forward. We need new leadership in the state of Washington. And so, you know, I'm looking at what happened under this current lieutenant governor. We've seen exports decrease prior to this COVID crisis by 27%. I'm going to make sure that I focus on opening up trade routes as the leader of trade and economic development in the state of Washington as lieutenant governor, so we can have manufacturers and producers in Washington state sell their product around the world if we have a reckless government trying to shut down our economy again. I have experience there. I've lived overseas, gone to 48 different countries, done service in the Philippines and Kenya. There is a worldwide market out there where we can sell our products. We should not be in a position today where we see our own Washington products like our apples being grown in Chile because we simply aren't competitive to grow our own here in Washington. The business climate here needs to change, so the thing that we're not just exporting is our jobs, like seeing the 787 Boeing line go to another state. We have the most innovative people in the world here in Washington, and yet we're losing jobs. It shouldn't be that way. And also, I have experience as a mental health counselor in the past to address what's happening with the addiction programs here in Washington State that have seen a drastic increase in addiction to drugs and alcohol. It's because we're not having the resolve to truly care for those people that are suffering in our streets across our state. So I look forward to hitting the ground running. This is not a position that I'll be just learning. I understand the legislative process, having been mayor of the city of Bothell and overseeing the largest revitalization of a downtown in Washington State. We can do the same thing. We have a vision for Washington to move it forward, yet we've been moving in the regressive way.
It's not always easy for a Republican to win statewide election, but when you only need about 35% of the vote, boy, does it make it so much easier. Please, 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 folks, write in the name Joshua Freed, F-R-E-E-D, for lieutenant governor. This is winnable, but you guys are going to need to do a little bit of extra work to make sure that your friends, family members, and neighbors are writing in the name Joshua Freed for lieutenant governor. Thank you so much for stopping by, Josh. Appreciate it.
I appreciate your leadership in our state. All the best, Jason.
Thank you. You as well. Again, write in that name, Joshua Freed for lieutenant governor. You're listening to The Jason Rand Show. When we come back, we're going to check in with Liz Harrington, national RNC spokesperson, about where we move forward on the national front. Welcome Welcome back to the Jason Rand Show on AM 770 KTTH, streaming on all those smart speakers like Amazon Echo and Google Home. President Donald Trump faced off against Joe Biden last night for the final debate, a debate that included a mute button that didn't actually need to be used. And as such, the president, I thought, came off really, really well. Joining me on the line with her reaction is the national spokesperson for the GOP, Elizabeth Harrington. Liz, welcome back to the show.
Hey, Jason. Thanks for having me.
So the president was on message. I thought he was very clear. And yet CNN, MSNBC, New York Times, oh, he did horrible.
Well, that's a good indication that the opposite is true, right? I mean, yeah. After 4 years. No, absolutely. He did a fantastic job. And he was clear because the choice is very clear. You have somebody who's spent less than 4 years in Washington after a lifetime of success in the private sector, talking common sense for decades, saying, well, maybe I'll run one day if it got so bad. Well, you know why it got so bad? And one of the best moments of last night's debate was, I ran because of you, Joe, because mm-hmm. of you and Obama and what you failed at. And that is so true. And all those times that President Trump pressed him, you were here for 8 years. Just a short time ago, you were here in the swamp for 47 years. Why do Americans have nothing to show for it? Joe Biden has a lot to show for it. His family does. He's got all those nice houses. But what about the American people? And I think that really showed the clear contrast. And also, you can't forget the big issues that were covered when you're talking about he just let the cat out of the bag and said, yep, bye-bye oil industry. That doesn't just mean the tens of millions of jobs of hardworking Americans that actually go out and work for a living. That means everybody's energy costs. That means destroying economic mobility in this country. That means destroying national security. I mean, it's unbelievable what this president's been able to do in such a short period of time after decades of talk by politicians in the swamp about better trade deals and energy independence and all of this. Oh, building the wall. I mean, it used to be the fence. It used to be bipartisan. They never delivered. But President Trump has, and he will always continue to deliver for Americans. And I think Americans are going to reward him for that.
Let's focus just a little bit on the energy part last night, where you would have to assume that Joe Biden would at least have his talking points in order. But not, it's super weird because so I get that he wants to downplay the fracking stuff. I get it. He's 100% wrong. He's lying. He very clearly is on the record talking about ending fracking, having nothing whatsoever to do with federal land. But okay, I expect that spin. In almost the same breath where he says he's not Bernie Sanders, he's not AOC, that's why he won and they lost, Bernie Sanders lost, he then says we're going to get rid of the oil industry. So he's trying to appeal to two different groups that are in sort of clear conflict with one another.
Right. And then you end up pleasing no one.
Exactly.
I mean, because he'll literally say anything. That's who he is. He's a corrupt career politician. Say anything to get into office. But it just shows you this is where the heart of the party is. And he'll lie to your face. He'll lie to the face of apparently the young female activist who wants to ban fracking and ban oil and natural gas. And he'll look right in the eye and he'll say, I guarantee you. Well, which is it? And now we know. I mean, now we know he will say anything. And it's amazing because you're right. He alienated everyone. He even alienated Barack Obama, who finally got out and started campaigning for him and everything else. And what does he say? He says, well, I was vice president. I wasn't president. I wasn't that guy. It's amazing to me. And this guy took almost an entire week. We've got 2 weeks to Election Day, less than that now, obviously.
Yeah,
but he took one of those off, and he still didn't have an answer because he doesn't have one, because it's all about power for them. And that was exposed as well. I love when President Trump pressed him, you know, why didn't you do anything? And he just said, a Republican Congress.
Which isn't true, by the way, because the first 2 years of that administration was controlled by the Democrats.
Exactly, with a super majority, but also, doesn't that expose, and there was just this long, awkward pose, and President Trump says, oh, you gotta do a little more convincing than that. But doesn't that expose Joe Biden, who says, oh, I'm running as a Democrat, but I'll be the president of all Americans. Oh, really? Because you just blamed, you just said you couldn't get anything done with Republicans.
Yeah.
So you're so inept that you can't work with Republicans, you can't get anything done with the other side, but that exposes it all. They're not interested in bipartisanship or anything else. They're interested in packing the Supreme Court, getting permanent power. That's the game here. They don't want to convince the other side. They want one-party rule, and they're just using him to get it.
Yeah. Liz Harrington joining us on the line. She's the national spokesperson for the GOP. And, of course, on the point of not being able to get anything done because Republicans were in office, yet again, at the same time, he also says if he's president, he will be able to work with the other side because that's people like him. He's just average Joe. And, you know, this whole idea that, and I thought the president was most effective when he talked about the doing, and it's a smart talking point, right, or a smart line of, I've been in office 47 months versus your 47 years, you got nothing done, I'm doing all this. Joe Biden says, no, you don't know how to negotiate. And then today, another huge victory in the Middle East.
If only this would have came up at, I don't know, the foreign policy debate, right? We didn't talk about the Middle yep. East hardly at all. But, I mean, it's amazing. And exposed. And one of my other favorite moments from the debate was when President Trump just completely called out the BS when he looks you in the eye and you're sitting around yep. the kitchen table. Oh, give me a break. We've heard this for a half a century from you now, Joe. When are you actually going to talk about the real issues? And, of course, he didn't want to actually talk about China because he's beholden to China. I mean, look at all this stuff coming out, how corrupt and shady the foreign dealings. And now it makes sense. Now we know why they let China into the World Trade Organization, why they've cowered to them repeatedly, because they're all bought and paid for by the Chinese Communist Party. It's so clear. And President Trump, why we love him so much is because he cuts through all the nonsense. It's not even political. It's all about business. It's all about America. It's all about loving our country and restoring its greatness. And that's what we're doing. That's what we want. That's why he has so much support on the Republican side. But that's why he's also getting a lot of disaffected Democrats and independents who are saying, I don't like the direction this Democrat Party is moving. It is so out of touch with my concerns. It's so out of touch. It would destroy our economy. It would destroy our way of life. And it would not put America's interests first. And that really shines through. I think it was really exposed last night.
Indeed it was. There are some people here right now listening. You've got your ballots in your hand. You've got your ballot on the kitchen table. Make sure you're filling it out today. There's so many local politicians you need to get behind, so many good Republican voices here in Washington State. And, of course, there is a president who is seeking your vote for re-election. Liz Harrington, thanks so much for stopping by.
Thank you so much. Get out and vote.
Get out and vote. Thank you so much for tuning in. Really do appreciate it. Coming up next on KTTH, The Ben Shapiro Show.